D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Wait, hold on. Somebody here got my name.
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
It's falling apart.
Yeah. And B-Boys. Saints. B-S and B-Boys. I love this podcast. I love this.
So we got Heath Elsonson, who's like our tech, the resident tech guru, helped me mirror my hard drives on my server computer, who's over here dumbfounded about how the whole Twitter thing works. Tell him what you were just telling us.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's like, I don't get it.
Try to help him out.
It's too much going on here or something for me. It's like, back on and I got 900 things in my feed and I can't keep up with all that.
All right, so now to help you out, I just sent out a special tweet just for you.
Okay.
To help you out. So all of our listeners.
All right.
Here's what you have to do. Send a tweet out, a special tweet out to Heath Elsonson. S-O-H-N at the end.
And it's not spelled
H-E-A-T.
Heat.
Heat. It's H-E-A-T-H, like the regular kind.
Yeah.
The regular kind.
That's right. All right, so there you go.
Yeah. All
Did
the
you get the one I just sent?
And I don't know. So you just make hashtags up on your own, or you look them up or what?
You can make your own, or you can look them up. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
But we have a for sure, anyone listening to the show, whenever you send a tweet to me, make sure you put in it, hashtag B-S-N-B. What's it? Letter N. Capital B, capital S, lowercase N, and then all capital beer. Use that hashtag.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
So the education continues. I'm with you, though, man. I don't get the whole Twitter thing. I mean, I have learned to use it or whatever, but I just don't. I don't know, man. I just don't. I don't know.
See, I quit using Facebook. You know, I check my Facebook once a week. That's it. I don't have time for
it.
I don't even know if I check it that much, but yeah. But it was more my speed.
I can
keep up with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's all the retweets, and he liked this, and it, like you get a bunch of stuff in the feed here that isn't even the stuff that I was in. Like,
I'm with you.
It's almost just too much of it. I can't keep up with it.
I've got 2,000 people that are following me.
I know. What do you got a staff that handles that for you? Or what? I don't know how you can keep up with that
staff.
Many.
There's nobody else.
I get you, man. The Facebook thing, even though that's a little bit, MySpace is where I'm at right
my
now.
MySpace. There you go. And you still use your AOL.com.
I'm still on Friendster.
Yeah. So if you want to email, just send it to Dave Romero at AOL.com.
Is that it?
I actually have a friend who has that, and he gave me an address. I started laughing. I said, quit playing. He's like,
well, I had a tech support question today from the lady that I do most of my work with. She said, a friend got a new AOL account, and I'm thinking to myself, why?
Who does that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know you could still get a.
Oh, I guess.
Where do you get the disk from anymore? I don't know.
The floppy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so let's get.
What, you still have your Tandy 1000 like I do?
No, what was it? I had my Commodore.
And a trash 80.
Oh, yeah, Commodore.
My Commodore, you know. Boy, I tell you what, I had one of those, and I didn't use it when I was a kid or whatever, and then I gave it to my mom and didn't wipe the hard drive out.
Bad news. Bad news.
Luckily, she never confronted me about anything that was on there, so I'm hoping that just disappeared and she didn't see it, you know. So, yeah. All right, so we got the schedule broke early last week, so we kind of behind the curb on that. But the schedule's out, and I think we should spend a minute looking at that and doing our – what would this be? We do the way too early prediction like in June. So what would that make this?
Yeah.
So, but we'll do that. We'll talk about it.
The way, way, way too early.
There's news, and then there's breaking news. So I'm going to do the news first.
Okay.
So Adrian Peterson, apparently they're working out a deal. It's all but done. Looks like it's about $3 million a year. Tomas is not happy about it, but that is something to talk about. So big deal. I heard there's something about a draft or something coming up here.
Yeah.
Like they're going to get some new players.
That's what they have in the NFL.
A reason to drink some beer. That's 1 week away. So we're going to talk about that. Our resident expert there.
1 week.
Thursday. Y'all coming? Y'all gonna come over to SEC?
I'll be there.
Yeah,
come over.
We're doing the thing.
I'm trying to get some people. I think Leo said he was coming. Who else?
Gary?
Gary said he, he didn't make any commitments. He said he got stuff to do. He'll see if he can swing by. But he don't play around. If he ain't coming, he'll just nah.
Well, if you're in town, you're a Saints fan, you know where to hang out.
I love how you do that. I love how you do it. Yeah, if you happen to be.
That's right. If you're in town, you're listening to this.
There are Saints fans. I see Florida Lee Saints stuff on cars and license plates and shirts all the time around here.
I do. I went to Lowe's, and there was a guy.
Now, I don't know if these are all people that became Saints fans when they won the Super Bowl and the story of the Saints and the Katrina. Because a lot of times I'll holler, "Hoot at," or blow the horn at them or something. And all, you know, like you were talking about.
They
don't get it. No, they really don't, though.
Were they wearing the 2006 Super Bowl shirt? That might be where the problem
no,
is.
No.
With some guy who just got here, an immigrant from someplace.
That's what it is.
Yeah, they had the 2006 Saints
Super
Bowl.
The ones they ship off to, But we won, so they don't ship those off to Africa.
No, wait, 2006, we were in the championship game. Make it to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
See, that's what made it funny.
Got you there.
Yeah. All right, so what's up with all these draftable players having these diluted tests? I mean, they can't lay off the weed long enough to –
I don't know what you're talking about, Dave, because I don't do weed.
I guess they figured the federal government don't prosecute anymore. The NFL shouldn't be worried about it.
Yeah, why not? Pass that thing over here, man. The combine is Friday, bro. We got plenty of time. Drink some water, man.
Yeah. I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high.
I was gonna go to the NFL and make a lot of money.
Because I got high.
I was gonna go to the combine till I got high.
Come on, y'all. Check it out.
I was gonna run a fast 40, but I got high. Now I'm undrafted free agent, and I know why.
Go to the next.
Oh my goodness, these fools cannot put the weed down long enough.
Long enough.
I have a buddy I play golf with. I mean, he literally bend over and put it down on the grass to tee off.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, that's what this going to be. Yeah. I mean, look, like you said, the
couple more weeks, you can buy all the weed you want.
Right.
And Enzo.
And then what they're going to do, I mean, they're going to, get ready to run the 40. You know how they bend down and they put their hand in the back and they're going to bring it down, put their joint down on the, and then put their hand back and
beep,
and take off, man. That's crazy. Put it down long enough to run your 40.
And the sad part is because they're talented, in a couple of weeks, they're still going to be able to buy all the weed that they could ever smoke. You know what I mean? That's it. I mean, they can't get it together and for a week until they get, they're still going to get drafted and they're still going to make millions of dollars. That's the reality. So
yeah. There's no nothing.
No, there's no accountability.
Thank you.
I mean,
that's the word I'm looking for. Nope. There's just not nothing. Nobody's held accountable, so they keep doing it. And that's the thing, that it's not so much that the weed's so bad. It's the fact that you don't have the discipline. And if I was a general manager and I was about to stroke a check for several million dollars, I think that's the thing that I'd be worried about the most. Isn't that this kid smokes weed? You know, I got a lot of friends smoke weed. I don't smoke, but is it that big a deal? I'd say no. It even seems law enforcement officials and the law doesn't take it very seriously either. But if I say, hey, man, listen, I'm going to stroke you a check for $2 million if you just don't go to the pool all summer long. Just don't go to the pool. Don't wear no Speedos. Yeah. Stay away from it. And the guy can't not go to the pool all summer. That's a problem. That's a problem. Just put it down.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Agreed.
All right. So here's some more breaking news. This is the breaking news. Other stuff was the news. This is the breaking news.
All right.
And I'm sure it's going to be breaking for the people who don't get around to listening to podcasts until Wednesday or whatever. Yeah. But anyway, Butler signs his tender with New England. Okay, so then news comes out that that's unlikely that New England's going to trade him.
Right.
So then somebody pops up and says, my source pops up and says, that they're working out a deal. My source is
the internet in general.
So
tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
So then next thing you know, around 6:15 Monday night, it's reported that the Saints, by the NFL Network, that the Saints and Butler have worked out a contract. So, I mean, who knows what to believe, although I would imagine, as usual, that...
Tell me when you want me to speak up. Go ahead.
I'm ready. Almost. I'm just going to finish this this thought here. This breaking news report.
Oh, okay.
So try to keep it, hold it down for a minute till I get finished with my break. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So who knows what to believe except for I would imagine that somebody on the NFL Network has a relationship with Belichick, and he's, you know, I don't think that this is misinformation. So I think it might be something where, I don't know, are we ready to speculate? Go ahead, Tomas. Say what you got to say.
Well, if you'd stop listening to Rappaport, you might actually find out what the truth is. Okay. Look, when the Saints brought him in to give him the run around in New Orleans and take him out to dinner, they were already working out a deal. They had a generality. They knew in general what money was going to cost. So when Butler left here, I'm fairly certain that they had a ballpark figure. Not all the details weren't worked out, but they had a ballpark figure. But they also said, we're not giving up on number one. So we're not offering you any kind of a tender because we're not giving up number 11. And so that's the end of the story. So he didn't have to sign his tender. He didn't sign his tender from the Patriots. So he couldn't be traded anyway. The Patriots were waiting on him. Okay, well, now he's signed his contract. $3 million. That's what I understand. Believe it or not. It's not much.
Yeah, but that's just but because that's it's just, a pre-designated
right,
amount
that's correct,
for a
that's correct.
Year tender.
Correct. So he signed that now. All right, great. But the Patriots still won a number one, to which the Saints have said, sorry, Charlie. So now the Patriots are thinking, well, $3 million is not much. We'll hold on to him. Well, you never know who you know. We signed another defensive back. Okay, great. More than merry. So I don't believe that Butler's coming here. Now, my own personal opinion is I don't want him anyway, but that's my opinion. But in addition to that, I truly believe that at this point, the Saints have said, we're not willing to give up what you want. So you're not getting a number one. If that's what you want, you're not getting it from us. Go shop at Dallas. But the problem is that they're not, you know, how many teams have two number ones that they can give one up and still have one? You know, so that's part of the problem. But in any case, I think it's part of it's old news. I think he just came out because he just signed the 10, you know. And I think because he signed it, then they said, oh, well, by the way, you know, we already have this. Well, I think it's old news. I think that they worked that deal out when he came here. He was in New Orleans for 3 days or something like that. I mean, he had a big tour of the facility. They went and wined and dined him, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they made a serious – I'm certain that they were serious about talking him through what they wanted and what he wanted, and that's what happened. But they didn't announce anything simply because the Saints weren't going to offer a tender. You know, so there was nothing there until this man decided to sign what he had because the signing period ended, right? The time for other teams to offer anything ended last Friday. So after that, he's got nothing to win. He's got nothing he can do. He's got to sign that tender. Right. And so that's it. And like I said, for the amount of money that he's going to be making from, I almost said Boston, New England, you know, I'm sure that Belichick saying, well, we'll just give him it.
Right. Yeah. The thing about it is, okay, I am not a huge Butler fan. I'm not a big fan of trading. when it was talking about a high round pick, or you know, like the 11th pick, I'm not even a fan. I'm thinking of 32. But if you look at Jamie Collins, he's a good pass rushing linebacker from New England that they traded. Who they trade him to?
Arizona.
Cleveland. Well, they traded him for a third round pick. Now, okay, you can argue the value of a defensive end in a corner. What?
Well, we're not sure where he got traded to. Go ahead.
Oh, okay,
go
ahead. Well, keep talking. The point is that both very valuable positions, he got traded for a third rounder. You know, I'm not trying to say I think we're going to get Butler for a third rounder, but just a first-round pick for Butler just doesn't seem, you know, to give away a high pick and the huge contract, I'm not a fan of. But if they can get away with a second-round pick, I have to look at it and say Butler's probably better than anybody on our current roster. Now, it's arguable. You could come up and
– I disagree. But go ahead.
And I knew that. That's why I said that, because I knew you were going to – I don't
Crawley
know Crawley
is
that.
Clearly.
That's right. That's what clearly I'm saying, brother. That's right.
But having said that, he makes our team better. We have cap space. The deal's going to be
we
do have cap space to now sign the guy. He makes us better. He's better than anyone, at least this year. He makes us better than anyone will draft.
I disagree with that.
So, you know, you could disagree – but there is no maybe you want to argue the kid that's from Ohio State, the cornerback. Other than that, there is nobody who this year, 2017, is going to be better than Butler. It's as simple as that. There's no way. I hate to talk in a miracle would have to happen. Like there'd have to be some super huge surprise. So we get this guy. It's going to be a 5-year contract. It's going to be $50-something million. And, you know, how much of it's guaranteed, so we're probably locked in for 3 years. If we have a good young player for 3 years who might have some deficiencies, as long as he doesn't turn into Bird, then I think it's a win, as long as we don't give up a first-round draft pick. That's my feelings. Go ahead, Tomas. Go ahead. He's no Ken Crawley, but go ahead.
If you were talking about a defensive back, who has shown year after year that he has incredible skill.
But he doesn't. Okay, wait. He doesn't have incredible raw skills. But I remember you giving me a hard time about guys in their 40s and all this stuff and they're jumping. He doesn't have that. But he's a very good cornerback despite the fact of his lack of those physical run fast, jump high numbers.
I believe that if you look at what he's done at New England, you will see a guy who didn't break into the starting rotation. You'll see a guy who is really, his claim to fame is stepping in front of that pass against Seattle. If you watch the game tape against Atlanta pretty much did whatever they wanted whenever he was covering whoever he covered. So, in my opinion, you're not looking at a guy when you say, oh, he's sensationally better than everything. I would disagree.
Okay, so who on our roster right now is better than him?
I believe that if you were to take Malcolm Butler and put him in right now, I believe that he wouldn't beat Bro out. You put him on the same corner, the same thing as Bro, and if Bro's playing like he played before he got injured,
right,
which is what I'm expecting him to be now when he comes back because I expect him to be fully healed. If he plays like Bro played, then he's not beating Bro out.
Okay, so I'm going to give you that. I'm going to say if Bro comes back
and
plays,
which
I expect.
If P.J. Williams comes back.
See, now that's just pure speculation.
Well, Malcolm Butler's pure speculation.
No, he's not. He's a Pro Bowl player. He's an all-NFL player.
Hold on, brother. There are people playing a Pro Bowl who, you know, they're not fit
to
tie my shoes.
None of them are bums.
Yeah, there's some bums on there.
Maybe some guys who are over the hill who used to be
good
who are still there for his name.
That's correct. So you got bums on there. That's right. Okay? And how much of it is the defense that was being played in New England as opposed to here? How much of it is that New England actually has linebackers that we don't have?
You have to
have. Okay, so he's going to come here. He's got no linebackers in front of him. Okay, and he's going to have to play coverage more than 3 seconds. I'm telling you, you're going to find out, oh, man, did we get another Brown? Did we get another David from, you know, from the Colts? Did we get a, you know? Yeah, you're going to end up with somebody you're not going to be happy with. You know, to me, if I'm going to make that motion, I'm not spending that kind of dough on this guy when this year
everybody who knows anything about football will tell you that there are at least 10 college kids coming out in this draft who will be starting in the NFL at cornerback.
Okay, I here's the thing. I find myself in a position where I'm defending Malcolm Butler, and I'm not a huge fan of his. So I want everyone to take this with a grain of salt, because I don't believe that
he's
great.
Malcolm Butler.
But I do think, at the end of the day, I agree with the bro thing. The rest of them, and I like P.J. Williams, but at the end of the day, Malcolm Butler is not a bad football player. I do agree. You got to play him the right way. He's going to have to be, because he doesn't have the raw talent, athleticism, just to stick him wherever. And you know, so you have to work him into the system. Right. But having said that, here's another thing: all these young cornerbacks, yeah, they'll probably start on teams that need a. But if you have Malcolm Butler on the team, they're not going to come off the bench or out of college, out of the draft, and beat out Malcolm Butler right off the jump.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll boil it down to make it simpler than that. Here's two things that I know about Butler, about this situation, that make me not a big fan of signing Butler and then giving him a lot of money. Number one, New England's willing to let him walk. They're almost begging somebody to take him. Number two, other than supposedly some second-round pick, number 50-something offer from the Texans or whatever it was, there ain't nobody else in line.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, we could argue about, oh, look at the tape and look at his skills and with it. There's a whole lot of other people in the know in the NFL that looked at the tape and looked at his skills. And there's a shortage of good cornerbacks in the NFL, and they ain't people lined up trying to
give up that kind of pick and pay the money.
Right.
And okay, so here's how I feel about that, and it's funny. There's a part of me that wants to agree with you about Belichick, but then the ego thing says, man, I know what I'm a good NFL head coach. I'm a good evaluator. Like, you can't not do the deal because why is Bill trying to trade him, man? It's a, there's something going on. So y'all watch out. Keep an eye out on him. Yeah. You know.
You know what?
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think Bill knows how to buy low and sell high.
Yeah, and that's the scary point. You don't want to be on the other end of that, you know, that sell high part.
Right.
So we'll have to see, but looks like there's a little something heating up.
I disagree, but go ahead.
So, okay, so what better time than to transition into some Adrian Peterson talk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't win this battle. Tomas has developed a new strategy, and it has to do with New England. So AP goes to New England. New England lets him walk, so apparently he can't play football no more. Tomas don't want
I know
him.
Two things about AP.
What are those two things, Heath?
Minnesota's willing to let him walk. Yeah. And nobody else is lining up to sign.
Wait a minute. You just got that from Tomas. I can't win that argument. It's like, yeah, okay, so New England didn't want him. And
Minnesota didn't want him.
Well, the thing about Minnesota is it always happens that the team that's paying you huge money that says, I'm not paying you huge money, these athletes get offended, so they want to move on down the
right,
street.
Right, it doesn't surprise me with Minnesota. Now, the thing about with New England is the number was at $4 million, I believe, at least. Now the rumors with the Saints is they'd sign him at $3
million.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that $1 million had anything to do with it or not.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
But
because you know, because you always go back. They could say, man, we're not going to pay you more than 3.1, and no less than a 4, and then call them back later. Hey, we'll take that 3.1. Unless New England's like, oh, well, that was what we was offering you last week.
But I think, you know, New England's trying to sign, what's his name, is Gillislee or whatever?
They did already.
You were right.
They signed the offer sheet.
Signed the offer sheet. And right. That's looking more long-term, right?
Yes.
New England's trying to get a guy they're going to have to set. Nobody sees AP as a long-term
no
guy.
And so that was the question. Tomas, you don't see AP as a viable backup for a year?
No. I think that I believe that there are other options available to the Saints. If they really want to sign somebody else who's out there, just, you know, bide your time. You're going to have some other people who have experience who are going to be available if that's all you're looking for. I mean, tell me what you're looking for, okay? You have Mark Ingram. Okay, what's his role going to be? He's going to be your every down back, okay, because that's what it appears that it's going to be. Then you're going to bring in a special back for third down. So, okay, so who is that going to be, the special back that's going to come in for third down? Well, they signed Cadet. They've got Lasko from last year, who I believe was a steal of the draft last year. He got hurt, but okay. You know, who else you have back there at running back?
Murphy.
Okay, Murphy, yeah. You know, but the thing, what I'm saying to you is that there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be saying, well, we don't need these guys. You're going to have people out there with experience. What's the name of the guy who used to be with the Giants who's on Dancing with the Stars? Can't think of his name now to save my life.
Tiki Barber?
God, oh my God. No, he's running a barbershop.
Can't think of his name now. But yeah, the guy.
Rashad Jennings.
That's it. That's it. He's available. And I guarantee you, Rashad Jennings has a lot more in the tank than Adrian Peterson does to me. You know? So I'm just saying to you, I think that there are other options. I don't think the Saints are just so, you know. But I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe they see it just like Dave does. Maybe Dave and Loomis are on the same wavelength.
Maybe. Ooh. I mean, look, the guy led the league in rushing 2 years ago. Last year, what was it, Achilles?
Meniscus.
Okay, so he missed 14 games from a torn meniscus. Okay, I'm not looking at a long-term solution. I was trying while you were talking to try to find a list of what's available right now so that we can say, okay, is Adrian Peterson better than this guy or worse than this guy? And I just can't find it quick enough. I'm sure there's something out there. But I would imagine that by now we have heard some more names of guys who, oh, man, I can't believe that guy's still out there. I think AP would be – just because I still think he's a good player. 2 years ago he led the league in rushing. Now, does that mean he can do it now? No, but is that what we – yeah, we'd like to have that. But I think he would just be the difference where I think we're really far off, Tomas, is that I don't think that right now, today, that Hightower is even close to what Adrian Peterson. I think Hightower was a guy that was on a nice story, a guy that was on the team simply because the Saints were cash-strapped and they found a guy that, hey, he could still play a little bit, and he was begging for a job because of, you know, the knee injuries for the years that he didn't play and whatnot. So he went on to play. What, Arizona signed him? So he's moved on.
San Francisco.
Was it San Francisco?
Yeah.
I knew it was a red team. Did that help? I'm just – that's how I pick my favorite teams, their colors. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, it looks like it's imminent. It looks like it's going to happen. So it'll be interesting
to see. Did anybody sign LeGarrette Blunt?
No. To my recollection, LeGarrette Blunt is
– I think he's still a free. I think he's still out there.
Yeah, he's still out there. But he said that AP's better on one leg than LeGarrette Blunt. that was his comment.
Well, LeGarrette Blunt is a you know, 2 yards in a cloud of dust at the goal line kind of guy. Where I don't really see him and Adrian Peterson even being close to the same kind of player. But
well, it seems one way or another we're gonna find out. We're about to find out. So, all right, so let's talk a little bit about the schedule. All right, so let's just work through these little technical glitches that we're having, and talk about the schedule. So here we go. We're at the Vikes. Now, from what I gathered, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And now that we got Tomas's favorite player, Adrian Peterson, who looks like he's going to sign.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be a
– he's going to beat out Mark Ingram. He's going to be our starting running back.
There you go. Maybe he'll be quarterback. So, anyway, then we got
he won a contract like Jimmy Graham.
Probably. Patriots at home. Then we're going to the Panthers.
You're just going to read them off when I pick anyone? Or go ahead.
I'm just going to lay it out there. I'm going to lay it out there.
All right, brother, go ahead.
All right. The bye week. Then we're got the Lions at home. Then at the Packers, Bears, Bucks. Then at the Bills, Skins at home, at the Rams. Then we got Panthers at home, at the Falcons, Jets. Then we got the Falcons at home, and we end the season with the Bucks. any initial thoughts there, Heath?
Well, it's a tough first 4 weeks, I think, you know, and not necessarily, you know, you look at the Vikings and I don't know, what were they, 8-8 last year or whatever, and the Panthers, they obviously didn't have a good, but I mean, you know, you start off the season on the road, okay, that's, you know, you'd rather start at home, but you can start on the road, but then it's on Monday night. Then the next week you're going to have, because you played on Monday night, you have a little bit of a short week, and you got to host the world champion Patriots.
Right.
Then the next week you're going to go at the Panthers, and it almost doesn't matter how good either one of the teams are.
Right,
it's a slugfest between those two. And then you got to go out to London and play the Dolphins the following week. So, you know, that's a treacherous little stretch of four games to start the season. I also don't like the fact that, you know, because we play the Dolphins in London on week four, we have the bye week early on week five of the season. I'd like to.
It's what, 3 years now? This is the third year in a row we had the early bye week?
Is it three? Yeah. I know we had it last
year. I know it was last year, and I'm pretty sure it was the year before.
I know it's at least two.
Yeah, so.
But anyway.
Tomas?
Well, I can, from one perspective, you could say it's a tough first four games because Vikings were a playoff team, Patriots were a playoff team, the Panthers were capable of being a playoff team, supposedly, and the Dolphins were a playoff team. So you have four teams here in a row that you would say last year, based on last year's record, they were significantly better than the Saints. You could say that. But me being the optimist of the show, I would say to you that I don't necessarily see that. I believe that you have the Vikings on a Monday night away. That's going to be a tough game. But I don't think it's a game we necessarily say we're not going to win. You have the Patriots at home. Again, Patriots are a good team, world championship team, but it's early in the season. I would rather have them early in the season than late in the season. So again, not undoable. The Panthers, maybe I'm the only guy on the face of the planet Earth who believes this, but I believe the Panthers will cook for fourth place again this next year. I can't see these Panthers going anywhere. But
so okay. Man, they must have just caught magic that 1 year. I mean, they played good football, but they got to the Super Bowl, and once they got in the playoffs, man, they were killing teams. Then all of a sudden, nothing. And it, if nothing else, it makes me really think that there is a lot more than even I appreciate about just good team chemistry.
Yeah.
Because they're the same team.
Yeah, but kind of. Kind of. But you know the movie The Matrix?
I do.
Okay. So you know in that movie, Neo, when he doesn't believe, he has to jump between those two buildings and he doesn't make it because he doesn't believe. Okay. So, but when he believed, he suddenly was able to stop the bullets in flight. So I think the Carolina, they believed. And so they were able to do a lot of things because they had confidence. Look, it's just like all the Tebow haters, okay? You go back to the year he was with Denver. They're losing the game going in the fourth quarter. Anybody else would have said, "Yeah, we're done." But his own team would say, "Hey, if you just keep it close, Tebow will win this game for us." And sure enough, they go to the playoffs. Now, where's Tebow now? Playing baseball, okay? Nobody gave him a shot anymore at playing football because, he's no good at. Yet this is the same guy that let him. Why? Confidence. The rest of the team had confidence. And I would say it was the same thing with Carolina. I think Carolina got on a roll. They all believed in each other. They believed in what they were doing, their system, their coach, their quarterback, boom. But I'm telling you, as we've talked about it many times, when that fumble happened in the Super Bowl, and your boy, Kamafed, didn't jump on that ball, I believe every veteran on that team looked at him and said, "Are you crazy? This was my one chance to win a Super Bowl. You know how hard it is to get back here?" Right. And I think that a lot of that confidence left.
Yeah. Even in Kamafet himself, because if you look at last year, he reverted back to
exactly. Back foot throw in and,
Yeah. The fall away jumper in basketball.
Exactly. I mean,
every time he threw the ball, his body was gone in the other direction.
Exactly.
Ball sailing over guys' heads, interceptions,
exactly.
You know.
So I see Tampa doing much better this year. I see Atlanta trying to keep up with what they did this past year. So, again.
That said.
I'm an optimist.
I think you go into Carolina. It's a tough game.
They're all going to be a tough game.
It's a tough game, though.
But I believe that the Saints could well be 3-1 going into the bye. Now, I hate the bye in the fifth week. You know, there's no doubt about it.
I hate the bye in the fifth week, and I hate the fact that we got to play the Falcons within a couple of weeks spread
at the
December.
Very end of the end of the season. Yeah, that's going to be a tough road to hoe too. But then again, if the Saints happen to get on a roll and that confidence starts building up, we get into the month of December, you know, we could roll a few off. And I'll tell you later, I guess, in the show what my final prediction is for the season. But it wouldn't surprise me. I'd actually be satisfied if we were 2-2. If we came out of those first four games 2-2 and going into the bye, I think we probably did pretty good, and we're in good shape moving forward. But I don't think it's going to be a complete flop like a lot of people are thinking. So,
Well, that's a good answer, Mr. Anderson.
Hey, that's right. That's pretty good.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to look it up on the internet. I was in there. I didn't have anything to add to the segment as I was looking up Agent Smith quotes from the Matrix. All right. So, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Since we have no segue clips, we're just going to have to go right into
it. All right. So, what do you want to do?
You have some of your new.
I just posted, and I apologize that it's been so long. I've been busy with some, you know, actually trying to make money. So I haven't had a chance to do it, but if you go to my blog, BSM Beer Who Dat, on blogspot.com, you will find that I've posted the 2.0 mock draft.
All right.
So I'll go down the line here.
Yes.
You might be surprised at some of my picks.
All right.
So I still feel sorry for the Browns.
I'm not surprised.
All right. I still feel bad for the Browns because they're going to pick Garrett with the first pick. Sorry for them. At number two, the 49ers. Now, this is the Mach 2 is no trades. Okay? Mach 2 alternate, it has the trades on. But Mach 2, no trades. Not to be confused with Mach 2.
Is that like alternate facts or what?
That's right. Correct. The 49ers with the second pick, Fournette from LSU.
Aha.
Wow. All right.
Oh.
Because think about this. Who is the coach at the 49ers? Shanahan. Yeah. Okay, I help you. So you know he wants offense. You don't want defense. All these people talking about Thomas. Dude, he wants a big running back because he's got no quarterback. So Fournette's my guy for the 49ers, which then changes everything after that. So now the Bears are going, what? Thomas is available? So the Bears take Thomas. That moves Adams to the Jaguars.
Right.
Then with number five, the Titans, they choose Lattimore from Ohio. Which brings us to the Jets.
Ohio.
The Jets, they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. Nay. They're going to go with the defensive tackle from Alabama, Allen.
Okay.
Which brings us to the Chargers, who have now moved locales. And, you know, they have a lot of these in Los Angeles. But they're going to pick Hooker from OSU for safety, which brings us to the Panthers. Now, what do the Panthers need? Everybody's talking about how they need a running back, right? Running back. Nay. They're going to screw us up. They're going to pick Barnett, defensive end, from Tennessee.
You know, man, I've been hearing word. I know you. You don't have to say it. That, like, him and Taco have been, like, they're talking now.
Tumbling.
That,
yeah.
Like, late in the first round. So, interesting to see where he might go.
Mm-hmm. And then the Bengals. And, you know, the Bengals, they're not scared of a little dilution. So, they're going to pick Foster, linebacker from the Bengals, from Alabama.
They'll let Perfect mentor him. Turn into a fine young man.
Works out perfectly.
And don't forget Pac-Man can
Pac-Man
on the weekends. Help him out a little bit.
So, at number 10, the Bills. Now, there was some talk that they might take a quarterback. Nay. They're going to stay with Williams, wide receiver from Clemson. And then it brings us to our Saints, who definitely need a defensive end.
I hear butt coming.
But there are some who believe that the Saints could pick a wide receiver.
Oh, no. No. I would.
But then there are some who say, well, maybe a running back is still available, which there are.
Yeah.
But, you know, so many people in love with the guy from Stanford.
Yeah.
But the Saints then will pick. And I have it on good word that
is Philadelphia going to erupt when they pick?
They might. They're going to pick, and like I said, they have it on good word that the president has okayed his permanent status. Reddick.
What? No, that's
linebacker from Temple.
You come around.
He
came around.
There you go.
That's my dude.
There you go. Because he can play hand in the ground.
Yeah.
He can play standing up. He can play middle. He's a good choice for what we need and what's available.
I heard someone say today he's a better version of the kid from Atlanta that they picked in the first round, number 8 overall. He had 15 and a half sacks. I remember everything about him but his name. He was their top pick.
Beasley.
He's a better version of Beasley because
he'll be able to play on first and second down.
Right.
Beasley was just basically a third down specialist.
There you go. So that's my pick for the Saints.
You know what? Let me say, I threw that out there last week, but I wasn't sold on it. And I don't know if it's now that you come around, it made me feel better about it.
Yeah.
But, like, I think I'd be really excited about that. A linebacker that could be like Beasley, meaning that on third down and put his hand in the dirt, get out the – you got
well,
your
speed
back.
Well, he's an every down linebacker.
You got your speed back.
And
but
he can
he's
play
also
inside, outside, and he can run.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's a good combination for that pick. Then I have the Browns coming back at 12, and they're going to pick up the tight end, Howard, from Alabama. The Cardinals, who I originally thought would take a quarterback at this point, they're going to go with a wide receiver. Here's where your Davis goes in to play from Western Michigan. The Eagles are now sitting there going, praise Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Because they're going to get the defensive back that they want, which is the boy from LSU, Mr. White.
Oh, yeah. One higher. Okay.
The Colts, they need to protect Luck if they have any chance of winning at all. So they picked the offensive tackle, Ramchick from Wisconsin. Safe pick. The Ravens. The Ravens still believe that Flacco's the man. It's just that he has nobody to throw it to. So therefore,
receiver?
The man that you want, the speed man, Mr. Ross from Washington. The Redskins. You know, the Redskins are much like the Bengals. These tests that have the diluted results don't scare them either.
No.
And they need a guy who can play safety, who can play in a box, and who can run punts back. So they pick up Peppers from Michigan. The Titans, with their second pick, stay at home. They pick somebody that they have a pretty good idea about, played in Tennessee, went to a fine school named Vanderbilt. That would be Cunningham, the linebacker. So the Titans did pretty good in picking up a defensive back and a linebacker, which they really needed to shore up that defense. Then we come to our Bucks, right? Our dreaded foes in our division. They also are going to stay at home and pick the running back from Florida State, Mr. Cook.
What is it? Oh, no. I saw the video. I was like, what did he do? But it was actually defensive tackle. Was beating up somebody, some lady, knocked her tooth out.
Knocked her tooth out.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't
knocked
him.
Her out.
No.
It was, yeah, well, I saw the highlight. They said, oh, another problem, and they showed him running the ball. No, they didn't. I just saw Florida State and immediately thought him. And then it was the defensive tackle. Yeah, thanks for letting me explain that
okay,
to you.
Okay, no problem. No galettes here yet, but okay. Then we go to the Broncos. And again, their GM is happy as can be because he's going to take somebody from his alma mater. Here is where McCaffrey goes, to Denver. Now for Gary. Now, Gary, I think is a great pick for your team. I really do. And especially because I know you like Mexican food, this would be a perfect pick for you. This would be Mr. Taco Charlton.
Taco Charlton?
He's going to be a good player for what the Lions run on defense.
They call him Soft Taco.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But if he's good, he'll be Taco Supreme.
There you go. Now, the fish in Florida, you notice I'm just going to keep on going. The fish in Florida, they're going to pick somebody from right here in Kentucky. They're going to pick the guard Lamp from Western Kentucky.
Does Kentucky have a good player on their team this year?
Well, Boo Williams is moving up the chart in case
oh,
you
really?
Haven't seen
him. Yeah. I forgot about him. He was all they
and,
had.
And the center from Toth, is that his name, I think? From Kentucky is also moving up the chart. The Giants, speaking of offensive linemen, they need somebody to make sure that Eli has a few extra helmets that he can sell on the internet. So... Yeah, I bring it all together.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
You put it together.
So they're going to pick up Bowles, offensive tackle from Utah. Now we come to the Raiders. The Raiders. They're going to take, no gambles here, McDowell, defensive tackle from Michigan State. The Texans, who everybody thought was going to get a quarterback, and I thought about giving them Mahonis. Oh, sorry, that's Spanish for big brown and foot on the top. But...
Just keep going, man. I mean, shoot, making stuff up as it goes.
No, in Spanish, the word for turd is
mojón. I caught that. You didn't have to explain it.
And my brother said, because my brother lives in Houston, and so when he licked my first mic, he goes, man, I can't believe you gave us a turd. But okay. But anyway, so the Texans, I give them, and I think it's a great, absolute great pick. offensive tackle Robinson from Alabama.
Well, now that I realize that you actually made the pick, I can see why you think it's so great. I
mean, that, he does say so himself.
Now, the Seahawks pick a young man from Ohio State University. And it's a defensive back a lot of people were high on, and that's Conley. And now we get to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are finally going to pick the first quarterback off the board.
That late, huh?
With the 27th pick of the first round, the first quarterback will go. And that will be Watson. I don't think it's going to be Kaiser, as some people thought would go to the Chiefs. I really think it'll be Watson. But
so the board's really stacking up for the Saints to get that quarterback they've been looking for.
I'm going to get the The 28th pick goes to the Cowgirls. They need defensive backs desperately, so they go with Humphrey from Alabama. And then we come to the Packers. And the Packers are going to stay at home as well. It's amazing how many teams are staying at home. They're going to pick a young man from Wisconsin, where the men are men, the women are men, and the sheep run scared. They're going to pick the little brother.
Did you say the men are men, the women are men, and the sheep?
That's correct. That's Wisconsin.
Little Watt.
They're going to pick up Little Watt. That's right. Linebacker. Now, here might be a surprise that some people didn't figure on. The Steelers are next. And a lot of people are thinking, well, the Steelers need somebody on defense.
Nay.
I believe the Steelers are going to go with the second
replacement.
The second tight end to go in the first round. Njoku, is that how you say his name? Njoku from Miami?
If you say so.
For the Steelers.
Bless you.
And then we come to our arch rival, at least for me, the Falcons. I thought they were picking 25 for some reason, but they're picking 31.
He messed up.
Oh, wait. No, you lost me around pick 26, I think. I started glazing over.
Well, Falcons, I think they're going to pick defensive end Harris from Missouri.
Did you hear they lost the Super Bowl?
By 25.
Yeah,
they were up by 25.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. Late in the fourth quarter. So.
Now, you know, if you add 28 and 3 together, you get 31, which is the pick that they have right
here. Nice.
There you go. All right.
Way to tie it in.
There you go. And then we come to our Saints.
Oh.
With pick number 32. Now, again, some people think it's time to bring in somebody to back up Breeze. No. And you're going to sign AP, so you got your running back situation cleared up, no problem. You don't need a running back now. You're good to go. And we already know the tight end position is solid with Fleener, so we don't need anything there.
Fleener.
There you go. And, you know, defensive backs, you don't know. You might get Butler after all, and then you're solid there too. So, man, I mean, what's left?
We need a center.
No, we need another defensive back to compete against Malcolm Butler. So we're going to pick up King from Iowa.
Oh.
I actually think he's a better fit for our defense. And there you have the first round, gentlemen.
All right.
With no trades.
Well done, sir. Well done.
And I'll just give you a hint for the one with the trades in it. We don't get to keep number 32.
I think
we trade number 32.
For Butler?
No. No.
All right. Any final thoughts there, Heath?
Excuse us.
3 days, man.
3 days.
3 days. I can't wait.
I feel like this is just
happy draft week.
Re-energize the batteries, right?
Yeah.
Tomas?
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I can tell by your demeanor.
I just cannot wait. I just cannot wait. I'm so excited for the draft. But I know that I'm going to be excited because I'm going to be attending the draft at the SEC
party. We having a party.
Party!
Oh, shit.
Was that too loud?
Yeah, I believe it was. You literally scared the crap out of me.
Huh?
I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
What?
My left ear no longer functioning.
Look, I'm just saying, look, anybody who wants to have a good time and watch with us to see the excitement that's going to be there, come on down.
The pageantry.
That's right.
You know what? Okay, so last year I was thinking about we went and did the whole...
We did a show?
The show, the mock draft. No, I'm talking about before. We did the mock draft thing where, you know, from downtown and used, like, the picks from...
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Well, you know what's funny is there's, like, three other podcasts out there doing the same thing now. I like the feeling
You were the first one.
That we were right. Cutting edge.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
But why don't we do it again?
It took a lot of effort.
No, I did.
And this year.
No excitement. Okay.
Yeah, no, you know, listen, man, I'm telling you, once I get everything, all my stuff, my business settled in,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get back to just doing nothing all day, I'll have plenty of time to mess around with this podcast. You know, Heath and I were talking about that before you got here. I said, man, I was listening to him. Like, last year I had a lot of free time on my hands. This time of year, starting a new project and everything. Yep.
What's the name of that new restaurant?
The Lost Cajun.
Lost Cajun.
You know what's funny?
It's right next door to the SEC.
Yeah. Did I tell you that Chef Pierre Gautreaux is gonna make an appearance?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're gonna do some commercials with.
I'll
let all the listeners know about where the website is, and I feel like if you make these commercials and you make them funny and tell some of those Cajun jokes or whatever, that people share it and whatever, maybe we, you know, be cutting edge on free commercials on Facebook.
There you go.
Now I don't know how to do it on Twitter. So I'm going to do MySpace.
He's going to show you.
Yeah, he's going to show me. But I was going to do it on MySpace. I might settle for Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, anyway, this has been the BS and Beer Podcast. I got Heath Elson-San on my right, Tomas Mauricio on my left. We're going to have a great draft. We're going to get all those holes filled that we need to be a Super Bowl contender. We'll be talking about it next show on Monday.
That's right.
All right.
Y'all have a good one.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.